Hello, and welcome back to Chaos Considered, where we consider our weird, wacky, wonderful world and share the burden of knowledge. My name is Emily Roberts.
Mine is Claire Middicky.
And we're here.
And I don't have a headache.
Wink.
Wink. And it's a little bit of a late night, intimate episode.
There's an energy, folks. It could be ball lightning. Science is still out.
We don't know.
Houston.
What did we determine? What did we decide on ball lightning? That it was ghosts?
Which is honestly funny, because my roommate does think that our apartment could be haunted.
Yes! Okay, now tell me more about that. Do we know the names of the people that have haunted us? Have we gotten some vibes? Have there been mysterious happenings? Has one of you died? Please let me know.
Well, if I have died, it's you know, a Beetlejuice situation, and I just don't know it yet. So,
ooh.
That could be fun. That could be a cool twist. No, she has, like, her little bins for her, like, you know, socks and such. And she puts it up in her closet, right? And one fell out, and she was like, oh my god, why did this fall out? It's on this, like, it's a pretty deep shelf. She's like, why is it up on the shelf? How did this fall down? And then the other fell down. And then she's like, Emily, I think our apartment is haunted. And I'm over here like, well, you know, because my first reaction was to be like, spirit, if you're here, reach out to us. And she's like, spirit, if you're here,
give me money, please. Knock, knock.
Knock, knock. No, we have, like, a fun thing where pretty much for the entire time we've lived together, if something weird happens, we blame it on Alexander Hamilton. Yeah, so that's kind of been, like, the running ghost goof in our roommate lives, where it's just, like, something weird happens. It's like, Alexander, can you please stop?
Yeah, Alexander, roll it back. Now's not the time nor the place.
Yes, you know, like, once I heard, like, a weird thumping in my walls back when I lived in Columbus, and I was like, Alexander, I don't have time for this. And then it stopped, and I was like, thank you.
Do we think that the ghosts that possess your dog, Luna, the young Victorian child...
Oh, yeah, really.
Occasionally steps out of Luna's body, maybe when she's sleeping or, you know, when it needs a break, and then wreaks havoc in your house by dropping socks.
You know, I don't think so, because this is new. This is, like, this happened in a span of, like, 2 minutes, and it freaked Sophia's bean. I personally... no spooky things in my house, in my neck of the woods.
No, not allowed. So, okay, we don't think it's the ghost that is haunting your dog, Luna, for sure.
Yeah, because I feel like, she would have come out earlier. This was
You'd
like...
be waiting too long.
This is a hot, fresh, new ghost.
Okay. Do you think one of your neighbors brought the ghost in?
It could be, yes. It seems like something that the neighbor bros could and would do.
This is the thing. I feel like in movies, the ghost only goes for, like, the people that bought the spooky lamp. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They buy the lamp, the lamp's possessed. But this is the thing. If someone else buys a scary lamp and they live next to you, what's stopping that ghost from traveling to... the next door down.
Hey, you know, it's free real estate.
They need a break from those boys, and they're coming over here saying, hey.
I get it. I need a break. I mean, here's the thing. Sophia has never seen one of the boys, and she has made it adamant that should she ever see one, she will move.
Okay. Of course.
Meanwhile,
those rules.
I see them... sometimes multiple times a day, sometimes many at once.
Have you moved yet?
I have not, no. But I don't know which is which. So really, in a way...
Which is which?
Okay.
Which boy is which?
Which boy is which? I know there's theoretically three of them. I've only seen two at once. And the two blonde ones look exactly the same. I'm going to say it. That's how the story has progressed. I cannot tell the difference. I see them in elevators sometimes, and it really gets confusing because there's like a third blonde man that remembered where I lived, and...
Oh, God.
And he's a different branch of the military because, yeah, they're all part of the military. I don't know. They could be.
I feel like you're just at this point making up backstories for them.
Well, one of them... Okay, the guy who knew where I lived, the floor that I lived, and this is a callback to last episode. He's a part of the National Guard. So I've seen him in the National Guard uniform.
Okay.
And then one of the neighbor boys is a part of the Air Force. Because I've seen him in the Air Force uniform. Now, I think that the two blonde neighbor boys are really the same person.
Just moving really, really fast.
Maybe it's like a clone situation.
For sure.
Hive mind, perhaps.
Listen, we've all read Haddix's Double Identity. We know all about clones and the tragedy they wreak on people's
lives. Listen, will I say that I'm afraid of the concept of doppelgangers? Yes.
Well, I'm not afraid for me. I'm more so afraid for the other people in the world. You know what I mean? One of me, that's enough. You know what I mean? That's just right.
Can you imagine two other Emily and Claire's creating an equally chaotic and awful podcast?
I can, because we're doing it right now. But I can't imagine the pain that that would deal on the world, you know?
Yeah. Do you have anything new going on in your life, Claire? Or are you just ready to jump in?
Mainly this headache. That's a promising one. Is this new for
you? Because we did talk earlier about like how you never get headaches and I always get headaches.
It's like, do we think headaches can pass over via Skype? Because that could be what's happening.
There were a lot of bad vibes sent last episode, and it could have created a headache.
A transmissible headache.
Transmissible bad energies. Like, it could be ball lightning. It could be bad energy.
That's 100%. So as far as ghosts go, might have a ghost. So a while back, my sister recently moved in and, her bike was outside and it had been raining and like whatever. And I was like, oh my goodness, I will be the best sister. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put that in the garage. Fantastic. I love that. Love that for me. I'm a good person. Pat myself on the back.
Tell your internet audience.
Tell my internet, just begging, like, no, I'm a good person. But Kristen was looking for it this evening and could not find it in the garage. Now, here's some options. The most plausible one, a ghost. Second option, someone stole it. Third option, I blacked out and hallucinated that I put it in the garage. Fourth option, it's in front of our faces and we can't see it. Fifth option, someone hopped from an alternate reality and stole it. I mean, there's more options, but those are like my top five.
I really appreciate that you kept it to the top five for brevity. Yeah. And, you know, this is a podcast that's all about brevity. It's about getting to the stories. It's about not boring any potential new listeners with tales of our life, chronicles of my neighbors.
Yeah. No, we're really good at brevity. That's what we've learned.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you guys have any hot tips and tricks on how to...
hunt ghosts, capture ghosts.
Yeah, or, like, seduce them into giving you back your stuff. Like, I'm all ears.
Your first instinct is that you want to seduce the ghosts.
We all watched Casper growing up. Don't act surprised.
Casper is the piece of media. You're going, not ghost, not the scene where like they're making pottery. You know, like the quintessential sexy ghost scene. You're like,
you know,
Casper,
you know,
that skinny, big headed freak. What is happening? I feel like the only sane person here.
Listen, you had to know that I probably saw my first, like, the trailer obviously it had been out for forever. The first time I saw the trailer for Ghost, I saw that, like, the video of him, like, standing behind her and they're making pottery. And you had to know immediately, in my little eighth grader brain, I was like, I'm never going to watch this movie. Okay. I'm never going to watch this movie.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna challenge you and say, but you watched Casper. And besides being like, what a great family film, you went, okay, but there's something about Casper. Like, it's one thing if you were to come to me and be like, Emily, as a kid, I thought the fox from Robin Hood was hot. I would have been like, yeah, that's a universal
thing. We all did. No, we all did.
No one thought Casper, the friendly ghost, was hot. No one thought he was attractive. No one was like, he gonna be my man. No, no one thought that.
Okay, well, you say that, but do you remember when he turned human?
No.
Do you remember when he turned, like, human? This is I'm not attracted to this, like, actual child, but as a kid.
Okay, I guess. See, I'm just thinking about the cartoon Casper the Ghost. Are you kidding? Are you kidding? That egghead? Like, are you, how am I supposed to focus on a podcast? Anyways, God, can we just do it? Can we just do the podcast?
Yeah. Oh, I have a full-blown headache now.
Well, you don't sit in your shame.
I will sit in my shame.
All right.
I can't wait to learn.
So, I'm gonna be upfront with the people. You know, I was like, I'm gonna come out swinging. I was gonna do Orphan Trains. I had the spirit of revenge and a seed of hatred in my heart. But then I decided, no. I can't let Orphan Trains be a topic that I go into as a source of revenge, as a source of hatred. So I'm gonna save that. I'm gonna save it for when I have positive vibes. Instead, I'm going to talk about Casper Hauser.
The ghost?
Oh my God, are you kidding me? I didn't even realize this is Casper with the K.
Was he hot?
I need to leave. I have never felt my whole spirit escape my body. Oh my God. Can we focus? Can we take this seriously? Okay, this is a story of intrigue, of child abuse, of politics, of murder. And I'm going to need you to take it seriously, Claire. Because we're a true crime podcast now.
Oh, okay.
We're about to be a true crime podcast. Are you ready? This is where the big bucks come from.
Oh, yeah, the big true crime bucks. Yes.
Yes. Okay. The year, Claire? It's 1828. We're in the city of Nuremberg, which is now located in modern day Germany. And things are about to get weird in Nuremberg. That morning, a teenage boy is found wandering the streets. The boy looks dazed, confused. He could barely walk. When the kind people of Nuremberg approached him, he couldn't even speak. All he could say was, "I would like to be a writer, the way my father was."
And he was so I'm already afraid. Like, already I got some chills on my back.
And he was clutching a letter of introduction. And that was it.
What's a letter of introduction?
Okay, so back in, like, the 1800s, you couldn't just, like, check someone's LinkedIn to see who they knew.
You know me. I'm always checking
people's LinkedIn. You're always checking people's LinkedIn. You got your finger on the pulse of networking. No, it was, like, it was literally, like, a letter written to, like, some, like, regiment officer guy, like, of, like, a cavalry. And it was literally, like, a letter of, like, "Hi, I am Casper Hauser." Like, it was weird. It was a weird letter, and all he was able to say was, "I would like to be a writer the way my father was," and that his name was Casper Hauser.
Okay.
So clearly the town authorities got involved, because no one knew who this kid was.
Mm-hmm.
But despite all of their questions, they couldn't figure out who he was or where he came from. He did not know how to speak and could only write his name. He also couldn't eat normally. He would only eat bread and drink water. Anything else caused him to get violently ill.
Okay.
And basically everyone in the town was fascinated. They were like, we gotta get a look at this kid. New boy on the block.
New kid on the block. The boy is back.
The boy is back in town. And, you know, turns out, you know, they were just very fascinated with the idea of Casper Hauser. There's nothing. They don't have TV. Okay? They don't have TLC.
I
mean,
I would be all up in this business immediately. That being said, I'm already so afraid. Because this already seems like this is going to be so sad. Immediately, I'm like, this kid sounds very traumatized. Bad news.
No. Okay.
I'm hearing a lot of bad news. Sorry. Continue. My bad.
Tip of the iceberg, my dude. So they would come and visit him. They would give him gifts. So he basically acted like a young child. Like he acted like a toddler. That was kind of where his mental state was. Some people who visited him tried to conduct experiments. Like priests came and tried to explain God to him. And he fascinated people because this was around the time of the idea of the tabula rasa. Do you know what the tabula rasa sort of philosophy is, Claire?
No.
It is like every person is born a blank slate. And the experiences of your life inform who you become.
Okay, okay.
And basically, this is a person who had never interacted with society. So he is kind of like the blank slate. Like, you know, it's the question of like, if a child was raised with no contact with anybody, what language would it speak? Like, those sorts of philosophical questions. Like, what is a human outside of societal norms, you know what I mean? So this is kind of like why he's fascinating. And this idea, this like philosophy, which is kind of different because it's very individualistic. It's different from you know, more like traditional Christian ideas that like everything is predetermined, you know, you are born as you are and that's it. This is like, okay, you are created through your life experiences. That's sort of like the idea that is circling around Europe. That's the hot new goss. The hot goss is that maybe your experiences inform your development as a person.
Insane.
And at the same time, like, Casper was a super nice guy. He was super likable. When he began to learn to speak, he was concerned about all the living beings around him. Like, he thought the trees were alive. He would, like, talk to animals. Like, he didn't understand, like, the difference between animals and people. Like, he was just a really nice guy. And he was very, like, you know, childish and things like that. So, like, people really liked him. And as Casper was being exposed to new things, and he was eventually also educated more and more, and he basically, like, started to, like, his mental faculty started to develop very quickly because he's a teenager. And so now that he's, like, learning and stuff, his, you know, he's catching up to where he would be if he had the ability to, like, learn things and have mental stimulation. Like, he's getting there. So he's able to tell the story of his childhood.
Okay.
So when he was a very young boy, he was taken to a basement dungeon and placed in there with nothing but a very tiny window, a few white wooden horses, a hole to go to the bathroom, a pitcher of water, and some bread.
Oh, baby.
He was not able to stand up. He, like, was seated the entire time, which is why he struggled walking, because he just didn't know how to walk. He never saw another living person for years. He sat in the dark, he played with his horses, he ate and drank what was placed in his cell, and then he slept. And when he slept, the water was replaced, the bread was replaced, he was cleaned up after. There's someone taking care of him, but he never had contact with them.
Oh, no. Like, isolation is torture.
Yeah, I mean, this is truly, like, a kid who just never interacted with anybody until one night when he was made aware of his mysterious jailkeeper. You know, he had come in, I believe... I'm trying to get, you know, get the timeline right, because like some of the stories that he tells are based on like where he is mentally. So like his very first description of where he was, it was very simple. So then at one point, very recently, his mysterious jail keeper made him learn to write his name and forced him to walk to Nuremberg. So he came in, taught him how to write for some reason, and then made him walk to Nuremberg.
Okay.
To find, quote-unquote, his father, which is how he knew to say, like, I want to be a rider the way my father was. Also because he loved horses, because his white when horses were, like, his companions.
Yeah.
So the question was raised, and it was asked by everyone, who was Caspar Hauser, and why had he been locked away for nearly a decade with no human contact? Well, the people had theories. And there was no one more interested in Caspar Hauser than Anselm Feuerbach, a judge and law reformer who took Caspar in and worked to help educate him. Feuerbach is, like, a great guy. 10 out of 10 in this story. Just a good dude. Like, he welcomed him into his family. His children helped teach him about the world in, like, a really interesting way. He's a great guy. So, there were two prevailing theories in the minds of the people. Either Caspar was a liar and a con man.
Okay.
Or maybe, just maybe, he was the son of Stephanie de Beauharnais, the adoptive daughter... the adoptive daughter of Napoleon.
Okay.
So he could be a prince, which would make him the rightful prince of Baden.
Okay.
And we will explore this theory later.
Oh my god, okay.
So, yeah, those are kind of like the two options through everyone. And one of the reasons why they believed he was a prince was that he was, you know, smart. Like, he caught up mental faculties. He was, like, a good-looking kid. And that he was just gentle and good. Like, this is still a prevailing classist theory of, like, you know, this is also the time of eugenics, right? Like, where it's like, oh, if you're a low-born person, like, you're gonna look and act like a low-born person. But if you're, like, the prince, even with all these things, you're gonna act... like a prince.
Like a prince.
You know what I mean? So that's sort of why.
Yeah.
So becoming educated, being in this really positive familial environment, Caspar's mental faculties grew exponentially until he was actually able to start writing about his own life. And naturally, it gets published everywhere.
Yeah, immediately. If I was a publisher, I'd be like, immediately I'm publishing your story.
All this account contained was his description of his life in captivity and the man who brought him to Nuremberg. That's it.
Okay.
Like, he himself, and I read them, like, he himself never claimed to be anybody. He was just like, this is the story of my life.
Yes.
But his tranquil life and the mystery of his origin would only deepen. So, on October 17th, 1829... which is a year after he was found, Caspar was wounded by a man who tried to cut his throat.
No.
Someone wanted Caspar silenced.
No. And this is only a year after...
This is only a year after he was found. Once he started writing about his life...
He immediately was able to start writing about his life?
No, like, it took him, like, a year to, like, learn... But, like, he, like, rapidly developed.
Okay, okay, okay. This is so strange.
And the worst part is it happened while he was using the toilet.
No. That's rude.
And, like,
that
thing
is
was
so
just, like,
rude.
Like, the sources talk about how he was, like, a clean freak. So he would, like, remove as many, like, articles of clothing as possible before he went to use the toilet. So you have to imagine how vulnerable.
Yeah, this poor guy.
Like, it's sad, but also imagine being caught with your pants down trying to go, and then you, like, step out of the outhouse, and a man is waiting there,
like,
to
cut you.
Like,
how dare you? Like, how... unhand me, sir. You have to know this is not it. This is not it. This moment that we're experiencing now together, you trying to murder me, and me with no clothes, this is not it.
Like, can I get dressed?
Can I at least get dressed.
And he did. He almost died because, like, he panicked and he tried to go up to his room, but he was feeling, he ended up like crawling into a cellar because I think like on some primitive level, like the dark space is the dark confined space was kind of where he felt safe. Yeah. But they found him there and he lived.
That's good.
So at the same time, Casper was becoming famous across Europe and powerful people were starting to notice him. Enter the Earl of Stanhope, who is this English dude that, after giving lots and lots of money, basically bought guardianship of Casper.
Oh no, okay.
Yeah, so Casper was taken away from Feuerbach and his family, who treated him really well, like we said, and genuinely cared about him, and he was sent to live with the biggest asshole on earth named Meyer.
But do we not trust the original family because they sold him out to a big jerk face?
I don't think they had, like, a choice because, like, you know, he was an official, but he didn't have, like, you know, legal rights to him.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, this was, like, this rich guy coming in being like, I'll be his benefactor. I'll pay for his education. He'll go live with this teacher named Meyer. Meyer was a really big asshole who was, like, super abusive. Casper didn't like living with him. It was a whole thing. On December 14th, 1833, just 4 years since he was found wandering the streets, Casper was found stabbed, and he died 3 days later.
No!
And Meyer was a major butthead about it.
How can he be a butthead about a death?
Oh, because Meyer was like, he found him and was like, okay. Stop faking, Casper. I get it. Like, stop being ridiculous. Like, you're fine.
We all get stabbed.
And wasn't it clear enough what had happened, Claire? He killed himself.
By stabbing.
And he was it was all just for attention. He killed himself, but he claimed that a man attacked him. And funny enough, both Meyer and Earl Stanhope made it their business to go around and denounce Casper, calling him a fake and a con man who killed himself.
Weird.
Yeah, okay. It's about to start getting weird. Oh, and Stanhope? Yeah, that guy turns out was acting a little fishy. For example, he very conveniently wrote a letter after he would have known Casper had died, saying he was going to visit Casper and how much he loved Casper. And now this two-faced nutscratcher is turning around saying Casper is a fraud and a con man?
Mm-hmm.
Who killed himself?
This is... okay. Okay.
Right? It's like, you gotta start thinking about why, what would Stanhope get out of, like, raising this person?
Yeah, why do that?
Well,
what's your reasoning? How is that benefiting you?
Guess what the historians found? Guess what they found, Claire?
What?
Evidence that he was being paid off by the Baden Court. Sis, the very Baden Court Casper Hauser would have stood to rule if he was legitimately the lost prince.
What? What? Oh my god.
Yeah, but, we're going to get into it. The question of the hour is, was Casper Hauser the lost prince? And there are historians to this day who are like, yeah.
Oh my.
Like, it's a very, like, it's not even like a woo-woo theory. It's like a very legitimate theory that has a lot of evidence attached to it.
That's so insane.
He was the right age.
Okay.
First of all. But we'll get into it. We're going to give a little bit of background so you can understand the song and dance. So here's the thing. So the Baden Court was only inherited by men, right? So back when he was born, there were Charles was the ruler, right? He was I think he was like a duke or the prince of Baden or whatever. Stephanie, the adoptive daughter of Napoleon, right? They were the rulers.
Okay.
And together they had 5 children. Mm-hmm. 2 of those children were sons, and both died within days of being born. But miraculously, all 3 of their daughters survived to adulthood.
That can happen.
That can't happen. So, you know, again, like, the theory is that their oldest son was actually replaced, and that, you know, the baby that died was not the real son, but that he was spirited away. Which sort of
wild
and hidden, right? Which is part of the reason why he was never able to make sounds, why like no one could know he was there.
That's so odd. So okay, but why would you like secret away a child? And if you're going to be on that level of being a bad person and you're like, I'm getting rid of him.
No, they like in order to save his life. No, I think the theory is that both of their sons were murdered.
Okay.
Yeah, because we're going to get into this. So, who stood to gain from having both Charles and Stephanie's sons murdered, right?
Okay.
So, the idea is, like, if this was Casper Hauser, the older son, there was a switcheroo, the real one was taken hidden away, and the fake one was killed.
Hidden away, died. Does that mean, like, out of safety, or, like... Sneaky sneaks. Okay, we're shrugging our shoulders.
We don't know. This is the theories. So, who stood to gain? Turns out Charles had a stepmom, and she had a son. But it was a bummer, Claire. None of her children were deemed capable of succeeding the throne for fancy legal reasons. Because of that whole, like, male lineage, it was deemed that her son was going to follow her female lineage because she didn't match up socially with her husband. So her son couldn't be the Prince of Baden at all, period.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that was with Charles and Stephanie. Well, Charles died at the age of 32. And after that, his uncle took over until 1830, but he had no male heirs. So two family members, no male heirs. So guess what, Claire? They made an exception. So Charles's half-brother was crowned. And there's no more messy mommy issues there. It's a whole new family line that would be very bad if, say, a more legitimate heir was discovered in a basement.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So that is the theory, right? If Casper Hauser was the lost prince who was hidden away... It leaves a lot of questions. Why did the guy take him to Nuremberg in the first place?
Yeah.
You know? Why?
I also have this, like, question of, like, okay. Because it could be one of those things of even if he wasn't the, like, legitimate lost prince, they might have just wanted to squash that because they didn't want, like, anybody to come around and be like, oh, we found this, like, rando who's going to take over. Ha ha ha.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, no, we like power. Nice try.
Yeah, because this was like a common theory across everybody. So this isn't the end of our story, though, Claire.
What?
Our good dude, Feuerbach, he has been investigating the entire time. This man?
Heck yeah.
This man wants to know who Casper Hauser is. Mm-hmm. And so this entire time, he has been investigating, he's been putting together all of this evidence. And this man. This dumb man.
Oh, no.
He goes to the rulers, the Baden rulers, and says, hey, here's all the evidence I've collected. Want to read it? I think you'll find it interesting. And of course, they were like, this is ridiculous hogwash. No. And, of course, the exact people who wouldn't want Hauser to be the rightful heir. And guess what happens, Claire?
Does he super die as well?
Feuerbach dies right after this. And lots incredible. Of people, including his family, believe he was poisoned.
Oh, incredible. So bad.
So, yeah. And I don't think, like, his, like, thing ever got public. Like, all the evidence he collected, his theory of who Casper Hauser was. And that's the story. Historians are debating to this day who Casper Hauser was, but parts of his story, Casper Hauser's story, you know, because that whole idea is like, okay, either he's faking this for attention, right? Yeah. You know, he's just pretending that this stuff happened to him. But parts of his story have been confirmed. A house was found near Nuremberg with a room identical to the description that Casper Hauser described that he was kept in.
Yeah.
All down to they even found the white horse toys he would have played with.
What?
So parts of his story, at least, that where he was kept, the fact that he was kept in seclusion, those things have been confirmed. Or at least there's significant evidence of it. So who's to say who Caspar Hauser was? If he was the prince or not, if he was just like a victim of a guy who kept him in. But like he was about, like it was estimated he was about 4 years old when he went in. So it wasn't that he was like literally like born and put in there forever. He had 4 years of his life before then. Like he doesn't remember very well, but like probably from about 4 to like about like 13.
Yeah.
He lived in this like little thing where he couldn't make any noise and no one could know he was there. So like it truly is like a wild mystery. So that's the story of Caspar Hauser, the potentially lost prince who was like assassinated.
That's so crazy. That's so insane. That's so like that it's like stressful to think about. Also, like, what a, like, beginner mistake of, like, I'm gonna go to the people in charge.
Feuerbach, yeah, I know, I was like, but.
Come on, man.
But you can't.
They already
just be
said
like,
that they're super cool with murder. They already said, like, hey, guess what? We're so okay with murder. We're so cool
like,
with it.
There's so many, like, for sure, the Bottoms had him killed, right? Like, the.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it was just, like, it's so suspicious that the Earl of Stanhope was being paid off by them, and he would, like, swoop in to remove Caspar, like physically remove him from all of his allies, making him more vulnerable, and then turn around and be like, he was a con man and he killed himself. No one murdered him. Like, that's so sus, right?
Also, like, come on, guys. If you're going to do a murder, first of all, don't. Murder's bad. I've been told by.
Don't murder teens.
Murder's not great. But also, just like. Don't do a stabbing. Like, that has to be a very, like, you've made a choice to make this
like
a very
visible affair. It was, like,
the sloppiest
way to pretend that someone would kill them. And he lived for 3 days after the stabbing before he died.
Oh, baby.
And for the whole 3 days, he was, like, adamant. He was, like, some guy approached me while I was out walking and stabbed me.
Oh, my gosh.
And, like, the reason why he wasn't even killed the first time by the guy who tried to cut his throat was because he, like, literally, like, ducked. Like, you know, it was like a fluke thing, and then the guy ran off because he heard someone coming. Like, it was like literally like, you know, people were trying to have this boy killed, and they had him killed. But it's like the question of why and who is Caspar Hauser?
Who is this kid? Wow. That's a lot to think about.
Isn't that, like, such, like, a wild, like, the layers to that story of, you know,
yeah.
The mysteries?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. When it kept going, I was like.
Like, it's not going to get any wilder. But it's like, a part of me's like, he really, like, he could have been. Like, a part of me's like, I feel like the Bottoms, it was like, almost like too, like, they were like, too invested in having him killed. Like, too clearly invested in having him killed.
Y'all are too into this. Check yourself. It's one of those things that, like, I like
political intrigue.
I like a good whodunit. But I like a good whodunit if we find out who done it. You know what I mean? I want the truth.
I think that what happened was the Earl of Stanhope had him killed on the Bottoms' dime. Because he sent that really weird letter. That was all, like, I'm gonna come visit you, I love you, like, around the time that, like, he would have already known Caspar was dead.
That's so strange.
Like, he, like, kind of wrote, like, an alibi letter.
Like, the worst, though. The worst alibi letter.
Yeah.
So
this is, yeah, isn't it so weird?
I'm gonna be thinking about this for so long.
Yeah, go Google Caspar Hauser. It's like very fascinating.
Caspar, my guy. Just makes me want to go back in time and give someone a hug and then take him to present time and be like, hey, I know there's gonna be a lot to learn right now, but back in the day is going to be bad for you. And listen, you've already gone through one learning curve. Like, you'll
be fine. Yeah, and it's so tragic that, like, he was, like, recovering from all of this, like, child abuse and, like, doing pretty okay. And then as soon as he's doing okay, he gets murdered. He gets sent off to this abusive asshole and murdered.
Hate that. Bad. Not good.
Imagine, like, bleeding on the ground and having a dude be like, can you stop, though? Like, can you quit? Drama king.
Can't believe you would allow yourself to get stabbed, you silly Billy.
Stop faking it.
I know you stabbed yourself.
Yeah, so that's the story of Casper Hauser.
Oh, Casper. Poor kid.
And now he's a friendly ghost. Claire would like to inquire about his dating status.
Listen, if you're single, let me know. That's all I'm asking. All drop a Caspers. Sock for me. Drop a sock for me, and then we'll see.
What's your topic, Claire?
Let's talk. Because quarantine has changed us all. In so many different ways.
Mostly bad, I would say.
I would say mostly, if not all, bad. And I just want to let you know I might be getting into sports. And I thought I'm so sorry. And
are you going to be a jock, Claire? Are you going through a metamorphosis? Are you having like a late stage jock revival?
I've decided, you know how like everyone was like, okay, I'm going to bake bread and I'm going to, you know, fix my life. I said it's time for me to become maybe a jock. I'm ready to like get buff and get more specifically into sports.
You're getting your gains. The gains.
I'm going to be getting gains. The rounder, the better, because I want to talk to
you. Are
you
going to turn to a ball?
I'm going to talk to you about Yella's marble runs. Do those words mean anything to you?
No, what are you talking about? Can you say it again? Those were the words. There were three separate words, but they literally like dissolved in my brain immediately.
Oh for sure. I said Yella's. Is a name.
Okay, that's the name.
That's a name. Yella's Marble Runs.
Marble Runs?
Yes.
Is it running on marbles?
I'm going to talk to you about competitive marble racing today.
Okay. Yep. You said three words. And I understand each of those words separately. You put them together and that's nonsense. That's nothing.
Oh, I'm sorry. I said competitive marble runs. And so that's not really working for you.
No, it does not. You know, I Googled it in my brain and it's come up with nothing.
You're getting no drive.
You're getting no results.
No results. Well, let's see. Essentially, what it is you'll have, now I'm going to talk specifically about their kind of multi-lap races. This is specifically what I'm talking about initially, okay? So you'll have...
Is there more?
Yes. I'm so glad you asked. There's so much more. So essentially, what they have is they have this like giant track. You'll see this giant, beautiful track that's been made.
How giant?
My sister just gave me a thumbs up.
Oh, wow. Says, that's support. That's
really
real
great
life.
Job.
Real life, in the moment support.
I love it. Okay. So essentially, for the most basic one, you'll have them all next to each other on a track. They all get released at the same time.
Are these marbles?
They are straight up marbles. They go around the track once. They reach essentially a conveyor belt, which will take them up to the top so that they can race it around again. And they'll race it around however many times, depending on the event. Okay? So when I'm saying marble racing, think of it somewhat like that. Okay?
Question.
So this...
Oh, is please. This like... Will we replace horse racing with giant marbles?
Yes. Okay. Yes, yes, yes. Now keep in mind, these are just normal size marbles.
Well, I think they should be bigger.
I think that's a fair ask. I don't think we're limited. But for now, they're just marbles. So this was initially started by this guy in the Netherlands. His name is Jelle. And he grew up making...
I have a question.
Please.
What's his favorite color?
What's his favorite color?
Is it yellow?
That's on me for thinking that was going to be a real question. That's on me. That is for
me. You were
me.
So earnest. You were so, I was so earnest. You're like, yeah. Ask questions.
I was literally I was literally like, let me think about that. And then I realized.
It's a setup for a This is a operation. I am an undercover comedian.
I know. I should have asked first. Hey, are you a cop? You have to tell me.
I legally have to tell you if I'm a cop.
But, so, who knows? Maybe his favorite color is yellow. So, essentially, moving past that incredible joke of genius. Essentially.
Is it a joke of genius? It's a joke of genius?
I know. I said it.
Oh, my God.
Oh my god. So essentially, Jelle started out doing this because he was like essentially digging out these ramps, these courses in his his grandfather's garden in the Netherlands. And he said that like his form of autism is really interested in like moving things, sounds, lights, etc. And that's like kind of the exact form of stimulation. His brother, who assists with the channel, says that like this is the exact kind of like repetitive action that like is he really, really enjoys. And he's incredibly talented. The setups themselves take about 3 days to create. Filming it takes 1 day. And then a composer from Greece drafts music to accompany it. You have a special a cappella group from New York who comes up with the chants for the different marbles, for the different marble teams. And then everything is sent to this guy named Woods in Iowa. And he does commentary for it.
Incredible. Incredible that there's commentary. I do have to pause because now that I'm getting an idea of what this is. Mm-hmm. So you're getting into the sport, Claire. Do you want to be a coach? Do you want to be an announcer? Like where do you see yourself fitting in?
So this is the thing. I see myself as a people person. I see myself as a person who
Promoter. You're going to get sponsors for each of the marbles.
My goal is to work on their image. Because that's the thing that you should know about them. All these marbles are a part of teams. And these teams, all these different marbles have their individual personalities. All the drama of high-end racing is in these events. So I need you to take whatever kind of like shoddily made ramp situation and I need you to throw it out the door. Because this is incredibly high-end.
Claire, I gotta tell you, I ain't imagining anything.
That's right. All blank space, baby.
Oh, it's a void in here.
So, and then they also, on top of that, they have a graphic designers in Greece. They're giving you, constant, frame-by-frame updates on, like, the racers, who's getting ahead of one another, whatever. It is very intense. There's 16 teams, 16 different races. You have very strict qualifiers. The commentary, Woods says that he does it all in one take. So essentially, they create the whole thing. So, you know what I mean? Like, the steps are Yella and his brother, Dion, create the sets. They film it. They edit it. They send it to the composer who drafts the music. And we get this all spliced together and all that jazz. And then Woods does the whole commentary in one take because he's like, I want to keep it fresh and as authentic as possible.
Incredible. We love a man who is just like here for the craft.
Here for the craft.
For the love of the craft.
What a craft it is. To give you some of an idea of like the different, what the teams are. It's just very involved. So for example, the friend who recommended this, my friend Jordan recommended this to me.
Thank you, Jordan.
Thank you, Jordan. His favorite team is one of his favorite teams are the Limers. Now, some of the names of the Limers are the following: Sublime, Slime Lime,
mm-hmm.
Lemon Lime,
mm-hmm.
and of course these all
sensing
chorus
a theme.
Yes. All of these go with a theme. All the colors are the same. Like, they're the same type of marble. So, like, the Limers are, like, a green and white color. You have the O-Rangers, which are all, like, clementine, mandarin, tangerine. You know what I mean?
Cute.
Very cute. And it's quite good. There's also been, occasionally you'll get some crazy stuff. You'll get a streaker in there sometimes that has to get secured, escorted by,
Security.
Mm-hmm. It happens at all our best games. You know, that happens.
It happens. Occasionally.
You know, what can you say? Of course, the stands are filled with, marbles cheering for their own individual teams.
Of course.
There's little signs, there's little whatever. Some of the ones that I watched included, like, you'll have home games. So, like, the Limers could have a home game. And the entire set would be kind of dressed up to look like, I don't know, have all the Limers gear and be designed to, like, look similar. The detail to this is
insane.
So insane. It's like so incredibly insane. And I was watching these races and like my heart rate started going up. Like you start like being like, oh my goodness, this person like cut this person off. Are they gonna make it? I can't believe he won again. How have I like, I can't believe they're gonna win the championship. You get into it very, 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 very quickly. So they also created the Marble Olympics. Now, the official International Olympics did make them change the name.
Oh, that sucks. Come on, guys.
That straight up sucks.
Don't be like that.
It's so rude. It is so rude. So I, as far as I understand, I could be misunderstanding this. I believe that the overall, like the regular races, you know, you have qualifiers for and whatever, the regular races are the Marbula 1 races, kind of like Formula 1 races,
mm-hmm.
like the car races or whatever.
Oh, I know nothing about car racing, but yeah.
I know,
I'll
had
nod.
To look
I'll at,
I had, that's why I gave you the aside, because I was like, I also didn't know about this before, so. I know.
Cargo
right
Zoom?
Now.
Cargo so fast.
And so they changed it to that, and apparently Formula One people are fine with that. But I think those reference more so like the regular races. The marble, they also though have like a very specific series of events that are filmed around the same time as the Olympics. So some of the things that include high jumps, balance beams, sprinting, and many more over the course of like 2 weeks.
Can I tell you, I am so disappointed we lost out on a Summer Olympics in 2020.
Oh, mm-hmm.
I love a summer. I love the Olympics. I am not a sport person. I don't watch sports.
It's so fantastic.
Last time I watched the Olympics, though, I had my wisdom teeth out just post-surgery. I was laying there. I was watching volleyball. I was watching, like, rowing. I was live, laugh, loving it at my grandparents' house. Just like, Olympics all the time.
That sounds fantastic, and I would love for that to be my next experience.
It was great because my grandpa was like, why did the women in the beach volleyball have to wear such skimpy bikinis? And I was like, no, you can't say that, Papa.
Papa!
It's beach volleyball. Just let us enjoy this.
Let us have this for one moment, Papa. This is, though, like, exactly what you're talking about is the reason why this got just as big as it did. So, first of all, Yella had been doing this on YouTube for a while. Woods contacted him. Well, let's switch it up. In about, I think it was 2015, Woods did a voiceover of one of their videos and posted it to Reddit. Yella reached out to him and asked if he could do that for all the videos. And that's how they got that partnership. That being said, Woods says that he's never actually met Yella because he lives in Netherlands. So the fact that they have this partnership.
Iowa is nowhere for people who are not in the United States. Iowa is nowhere. It is the wasteland of the Midwest.
Straight up. Yeah. Middle of nowhere.
Or as my mom would say, Iowa is the breadbasket of the United States. Every time we drove through Iowa. Every single time. Let me tell you. So, okay. We're from Missouri.
Yeah.
Okay. My mom's family is in Minnesota. I now live in Minnesota. But every year we would drive up from Missouri to Minnesota. And Iowa is sandwiched in between. And every single time, both times, going in, going out, my mom would be driving. She would turn and look at me, no matter what we were listening to, no matter what was going on, she'd turn and look at me and go, you know, Iowa is the breadbasket of the United States.
What does that mean?
Apparently they produce a lot of food.
What does that mean?
You know, I'll Google it right now.
Is that their official title? Like, Missouri. The show me state, which is the worst tagline. We can all admit that.
It's because we all suck.
It's true.
I'm Googling Iowa, the breadbasket of America.
Is anything popping up?
Yes. If Iowa were a country, it would be fourth in the world for soybeans and corn.
Wow. Wow, Iowa. I wasn't a don't mind me if I do, though.
Huh. I was the largest hog producer in the United States. I was also the largest egg producer in the United States.
So they really are a breadbasket.
Truly produces a lot of our food. Okay, Iowa.
All right, Iowa.
Iowa produces $4 billion above the next closest states. Texas. So, okay, the top five states for agricultural production. It's California, and then it's Iowa. And I, you know, just for the, this is like a short, like, miniature podcast within a podcast. Let's do, like, the size of California versus the size of Iowa. Because, again, if you're not from the Midwest.
You gotta.
So, California is 163,000. 696 square miles.
Okay.
The size of Iowa is 56,000 square miles.
2 feet.
So Iowa is quite literally like a third of the size.
And just churned it out.
And produces about half as much as California does in money.
Jeez Louise.
Okay, Marie! Okay.
Okay. Marie was on it.
Okay.
Marie, that's why Marie kept saying, hey, guess what?
She's right.
She's right.
She's right.
How dare I doubt her? How dare we speak with derision?
Wow. Turns out, Iowa, the corn state, Iowa.
Wow. My corn state is more than just a corn state.
So the more you know. Okay, back to marbles.
Back to marbles, baby. But exactly, so like, he's from Iowa. They were talking about, like, right, the composers from Greece. You have a cappella group from New York. You have, like, a manager in Germany. Like, it's a very interesting collection of people joining together, which I think is very fantastic. And I don't remember what I was talking about last, because we had to talk about the breadbasket, obviously.
I'm sorry.
No, but you're right, though.
It was just always the weird thing that my mom would, like, so seriously. She was dead serious.
So intensely. Let's see. Yeah, but obviously there's personalities created for these different ones. Also, there's a big old fan base. Oh, we were talking about the timing of it all. This is the thing. Part of the reason I got so big is because, for the most part, initially, sports shut down. So you had all these sports people being like, hey, what's up? I want the high that I get from watching sports. I don't know what that'd be like. I don't watch sports. But they said, I need it. I want it. And then there was this tweet that got that went viral. Said, day four without sports, marble racing is intense. And they were right. Apparently, there was like a 999% increase in subscribers.
Wow.
Like the day, a day or two after that tweet. And then videos viewed went up 339%. Now, these are like the couple of days after. Which already had somewhat of a following. But like, it, you know, people are now watching that. It even got the attention. I think it's been on ESPN before.
It's been this on past year. ESPN.
Now as like a kind of,
news,
I think they were
story?
Doing, yeah, I think it was more like there was like a 24 hours where they were kind of like looking at different like odd sports or whatever that are circulating. And anyways, marble racing, specifically Yella's marble racing, made it. Which is fantastic.
I'm so proud.
Now, I don't remember. I should have written down exactly what time, exactly what month this past year in 2020. But they essentially sent out a message being like, hey, we won't be able to keep doing this because we might not be able to keep doing this unless we can get some sponsors or some backers for this. Because as you can tell, this is a huge operation that they're actually pulling off right now.
Yeah.
That got the attention of John Oliver. You know, the comedian.
Oh, John Oliver. Oh, king.
So that got the attention of John Oliver, who became an official sponsor for the next, like, I guess it was all 16 events. And so he was paying that. And then he said he would give, for the winner of each event. So there's 16 events. For the winner of each event, $5,000 would be donated to the food bank. I can't remember if it was a food bank of their choice or maybe it was predetermined, but it would be in the name of the team. So wow. Something could be given out in the name of the Limers team or the name of the O'Rangers.
Incredible.
And then they gave like an extra 20,000, you know, specifically donated. I can't remember the organization, but it turned into this whole thing. So he sponsored the show on top of that. And I mean, it's a fantastic way to kind of get that adrenaline kick because you're getting like, kind of what did Wood say specifically? He said, and for whatever reason, it seems to match up really well with the type of passion a lot of people have, whether it's rooting for an underdog or a great comeback or an unexpected performance, because you can get very invested in it. They have official, they have official magazine dedicated to it.
This is like so involved, but I'm like really into it. I wouldn't want it any other way.
I wouldn't want it. This is the thing is if something like this exists, I need it to be taken with 100% sincerity and in 100% seriousness. I need people to be deeply in the paint. So I looked at one of the magazines, right? Not mm-hmm. one of the magazines. I looked at one copy of a magazine. There's only been a couple of issues, but it's called The Rollout. So, for example, the title of the magazine is Nocianics, which is one of the team names. Behind the scenes of the biggest disaster in the history of the Marble Olympics. Another title for one of the articles in it is On the Farm, a look into the family life of the O'Rangers.
The family life?
We're in it. We're in it. I was watching one, Jordan showed me one video, and it was just of them racing, but they did a recall to a previous race. They were saying like, oh, this one, they said that this one marble was doing poorly, and it was like, you know what, he's doing the best he can after his accident. And they showed a clip of one time that he fell off one of the tracks.
No, this can't be legal.
It is so fantastic. It is so, 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 so deeply good. So deeply good. I can't even overstress how much delight it brings. I'm definitely gonna make you watch. You don't even have to watch a whole video, but just so that you can see the incredible quality of these videos and why, like, ESPN would be comfortable being like, ah, yes, I'm going to show you marble racing because it slaps. And the fact that this got so big during this, like, really, really hard year as, like, a safe way to essentially
these
enjoy
unprecedented
sports.
Times.
God, gross. But it's deeply, it's so fantastic. It sparks so much joy.
Yeah.
And the fan base, I watched like fan created videos where they like made interviews with the different marbles, and like it was so like we're in it.
I'm glad that like everyone is collectively in it.
Yeah. And the thing is like Jordan was talking to me, he was talking to me about like one, he had I think two teams that he really enjoyed, but then he was talking about all the teams that he didn't like. Also there's official merch. There's official merch for all these teams. So, like, catch me getting involved, and I'm going to get the merch to go with it, best believe.
Oh, you gonna be a sport lad.
Listen, if I'm going to get into sports, if there's ever going to be a sport I'm going to get into...
It's this.
It's this one. This is as close as we're going to get, folks.
That's fair.
But yeah. Competitive marble racing, my guy.
That's where it's at.
That's where it's at.
Well, I mean, I can't argue with that.
Yeah, like, I'm sorry I'm now a jock. So, my personality's about to be changing.
I'm a nerd, you're a jock. We can't be friends anymore.
We can't be friends. After today, no longer.
Everyone's like, thank God.
I'm baking you.
Listen, buy my silence.
Buy my silence, baby. What did we say last time? Did we say 15, 20?
You know, who's to say? I don't remember.
Well, ask anything. John Oliver. Say, hey, John Oliver, fork us over 20,000.
20,000 pennies, please.
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 Please. But yeah, that is
make me an offer
racing.
I can't refuse. Okay. Well, that's the podcast, Claire. Where can the people find us?
You can find us so many different places. You can find us at our, let's see. We've got a website. We got a Twitter. We got a Tumblr. We got an Instagram. And we also have, most importantly, we have a chaos... considered Gmail. So it's chaosconsidered@gmail.com. And do us a favor, send any requests that you have of stuff that you think either I should cover or Emily should cover. And we will find ways to make it chaotic and entertaining.
Or one of those.
Let's take it back a step. Entertaining is a lot. Let's say, find a way for Emily to make it increasingly chaotic and for Mia to find some level of happiness? Okayness?
Of course, if you enjoyed this podcast, go over to iTunes, leave us a review, tell your friends about it, you know. Word of mouth is really important. Those are sort of the small steps you can take to really help us out. If you really got this far and you're like, ooh, girls, I got, I didn't enjoy it. That's fine. We are now accepting criticism in the form of 5-star iTunes reviews. You can also head over to iTunes, give us 5 stars, and just tell us how you feel.
Yeah. We're super into constructive criticism, but I don't really see it unless it's 5 stars.
Yeah, you know what I mean? We have a filter. We have a filter. And we just want to make sure that everyone gets seen and heard. So the best thing to do, if you haven't already, is go over, get yourself an iTunes account, and give us a 5-star review.
I mean, what more?
Simple.
Easy. I mean, what could they really have to criticize? We talked about our love of Casper, the friendly ghost.
Well, you know, R implies that we're both in it together. And
listen, we